Fox Sports 1340.
Hey, this is
Darnell Jefferson, tailback.
Ray Griffin, starting tailback.
Yeah, I know. That's why they recruited me.
The two boys that recruited before you are washing cars now.
You better start strengthening your wrist. This guy's kind of funny.
Now, back to Heat Wave Sports. Here's Tom Barton and Tim Unglesby.
Bill Belichick, at the age of 66, wins his sixth Super Bowl title. Tom McVay, half his age at 33. And I'll read you a quote from Sean McVay. This is over on the Westwood One radio network. It's essentially what you had said in hour one. McVay said, "They did a great job, but it was mostly a result of me doing a poor job calling plays and not giving us a chance to win. I don't know how you ever get over something like this."
Yeah, I mean, that quote is not a quote from an experienced, you know, head coach that knows how to pick his words. He's putting the blame on himself. Guess what? He should. He agrees with me, and he should. But the second part is really interesting, Tim. I don't know how you get over something like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they talked to Sean Payton after he lost this year on that terrible call, and they asked him, "What'd you do?" And he said, "Oh, I ate like 3 gallons of ice cream for 4 days." Kind of having fun and kind of joking. When they spoke to Dan Quinn after the Atlanta game, I remember Dan Quinn being completely out of sorts. And he said, I just don't know how, you know, what's going to happen next year. I don't know how I'm going to get back to this next year. A coach like Sean McVay that has seen nothing but success in his career. Think about it. In his career, he's 32 years old, guys, right? In his career, nothing but success at every stop. Nothing but the golden boy success at every stop. This is as big of a devastating gut punch as he could possibly maneuver. I mean, it really is. This is as bad as it's going to be for him. Not only did his team lose, but his offense was, for lack of a better term, humiliated. And that's his baby, right? And then his future is tied to Jared Goff. That's his baby. He was terrible, terrible tonight. How do you wake up the next day if you're Sean McVay? How do you wake up during the draft, during the combine, during next season? How do you get up and go, okay, I have to do everything the same all year to get us back to where we are, but then do nothing of what I did in that game? It's a hard adjustment, man. And this is why it's hard to get back to the Super Bowl. Take the Patriots out. It's hard to get back to the Super Bowl. And we see teams the next year not only not make the Super Bowl, they don't make the playoffs the next year. And I know it sounds insane to think about the Rams maybe not making the playoffs, but when I hear a statement like that, Sean McVay is like that guy that, you know, gets dumped by his girlfriend out of nowhere that just doesn't know what happened. And he's going to need some time. He's going to need some time to understand what losing is. He's never had to deal with losing. Now it was on the biggest stage, and it was in the most devastating way. I think the Rams are in some trouble next year. I do. I know everyone's going to be loading up on them because that's what the public does. But I think the Rams are in some trouble next year.
You look at tonight's game. And Pro Football Focus ranked Stephon Gilmore as the NFL's best cornerback this year. And, you know, statistically, when you look at it and you're like, well, he only had two interceptions, it's not necessarily the stats and times that teams avoided going to his side of the ball, obviously, or whoever he shut down at that point. And when you have speed like Cooks, you have a guy like Woods, you know, Gilmore tonight, and, yeah, he had the key interception, Tom, but Gilmore tonight all around, when you look at a guy that – in my mind, Edelman was the MVP. Gilmore could have had some votes behind him for that, in my opinion.
I would have given it to Gilmore. I would have given it to Gilmore for two reasons. Number one, the plays that are not seen are often the best plays. Actually, for three reasons. Number one, because we don't see how many times Goff wanted to go to Cooks and he was shut down, or wanted to go to Woods and he was shut down. We don't see that because Gilmore's shutting him down. Number two, I think in a 13-3 game, in a game where you have allowed 3 points, got to give it to a defensive player. You just have to. And number three is this. Look, I know you love Edelman, you know, but the guy, if this is Major League Baseball, he's not allowed to play, right? A guy is still at sea. I don't like that, you know, people that take steroids in any sport, and I wouldn't have rewarded Edelman in the year that he took steroids to win the MVP.
That's a good point, Tom. That's a very good point. And even though he did come out and admit that he was wrong, you're right, he cheated, right? He cheated just like...
Yeah.
I know Vegas.
How many games was he suspended for, Tim?
4 games.
Okay. That's 4 less games on his small body that had to be banged around.
Yeah.
That's 4 games that he's, you know, maybe a little bit a step quicker, a step healthier. That's 4 games of recovery. 4 games of sitting down and watching tape. I mean, that, you can underestimate it, but this is not the playoffs for Julian Edelman's body. This is game 16. For Julian Edelman's body, right?
Sure.
Because he played 4 less games.
And I know VGK fans are not going to like this, but Nate Schmidt cheated. Yes or no?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And he came back a house of fire. He missed 20 games, you know?
Listen, CJ Anderson said when they asked him, why are you running so much better, or why are you running, you know, like this and all that? What did CJ Anderson say? Because I got so little carries during the year, right? I'm the healthiest guy out there. What do we hear all the time? Well, you know, in physical sports, and hockey is one of them, right? In physical sports, you know, everyone's hurt. It's just the extent of how hurt you are. Well, you know, the druggy cheater, Nate Schmidt, he's healthier than everybody. The druggy cheater in Edelman is healthier than everybody. You know, that's just the conclusion that you come to. I'm not saying that it makes them, you know, terrible human beings and all this. What I am saying is this: I got to be consistent, and I would, if I'm not voting a baseball player into the Hall of Fame for doing it, I'm certainly not giving the MVP award to somebody that was suspended the year of. You know, it's not even like it's like 2-3 years down the road and you're still holding a grudge. This is this year.
You know, another thing that, and we'll move on to the two that either A, if you're listening, you're going to love what we're going to talk about, or B, it's going to infuriate you, and I don't know why other than, like I texted you earlier, as soon as the game ended, Tom, I said, let the haters begin, right? And here it is. In the media, this is what infuriates me, and it happens here in locally. It happens all across the country. I don't understand the thought process that goes into the preparation. Some of these reporters ask questions of, and we've heard it, before the Super Bowl, I'll start with Brady, Tom. Tom, you plan on retiring after this year? And he said, no, I'm going to keep playing. I want to play till I'm 45. We've heard that numerous times. As soon as he wins the Super Bowl, CBS sends over their sideline reporter. And her first question is do you still want to keep playing? Like, you just want to, you know, I don't understand the thought process in this and that. What makes that question stand out to anybody? Are you expecting him just to change his mind and make a huge announcement? Is it something that they want to break this story live, that he changed his mind and he's not going to play next year? Why would you ask somebody like that right after they won their 6th championship? They're elated, they're excited. Oh, are you going to retire? It doesn't make sense to me, and I think that's just cheap journalism there. Obviously, it shows, I don't know if she was fed that line or she just didn't prepare. I just didn't like the post-game interview at all.
Well, it's because everybody's obsessed with the age, and it's a softball question. I mean, you know, it is that layup question. This is what a lot of reporters, you know, they just go to. Let's get the easiest one out there. As a matter of fact, let me correct your quote. You know, you kind of paraphrased. I can tell you exactly what Tom Brady said. He said it on WEEI, and he said, not, you know, listen, he said it with a smile, not in an annoyed way, but he said, I think I've been pretty consistent on this. I told everybody I want to play till I'm 45. Like, you know, basically, like, stop asking me. I told you guys, you know, and maybe he will reevaluate. And I know a lot of people said, well, he's going to reevaluate. Maybe he will, but, you know, he's clearly not.
Lost Tom there. We'll get him right back. We look at what Tommy was saying about Brady, and he's right. Maybe he goes home in the offseason, like he said during the interview, to spend time with his wife and his family. Maybe he decides 6 is enough for me. I'm going to go ahead and call it a day and go out on top. That obviously could happen. And the same thing could be said for Bill Belichick. You're talking about two gentlemen that when it's all said and done in the annals of the NFL, their names will be at the top of the list. If you're building a Mount Rushmore, you got to think about those two guys being at the top of the list. And we got Tom back. My thing on it, Tommy, is that maybe he goes home, he talks it over with his wife, he looks at his kids and he says, I'm done. I don't have anything left to play for. I'm going to be a six-time champion and let somebody try to catch me.
Maybe he does, though. But Tim, here's the thing. There's two things with Tom Brady. Number one is, do you think that some random sideline reporter, after they just win the Super Bowl, is going to catch that scoop? Or is he going to go to one of his reporter friends that are in Boston, let him have the exclusive? They asked Gronk about it. Gronk said, you know, guys, it's not about me tonight. It's about the team. That's their philosophy. Why would you think that he's going to, you know, make it all about him? Then, if he says that, the headline tomorrow isn't about Edelman. It's not about the team. It's Tom Brady's retiring. He knows that. And the second thing is, like you said, well, maybe he will decide to hang it up. My question is why? I mean, really, why? If he comes up and he has, you know, a terrible year next year, does it tarnish legacy? Does it go, oh, man, you know, I thought Brady was six rings. Now we have age two, he fell apart. No, he's playing with house money. If he comes back to the team that just won the Super Bowl, that has their most of their organizational depth in place with a great coach in a pathetic division, if he and he's playing at an MVP level, if he comes back, it's still okay. You know, if Tom Brady goes out there next year and the Patriots go, you know, 8-8, that's a massive, massive letdown. But guess what? It doesn't hurt his legacy. Mm-hmm. There's nothing saying why Tom Brady should step away. And I get the question to Gronk because we've all heard it, and I do think Gronk steps away. And I think Gronk should step away. His body is battered. Okay, his back is just shot. He has nothing left to prove. He's got the rings. He's got the accomplishments. He's first ballot Hall of Famer. He has a life in front of him, too. He's probably going to go into movies and things. There's reasons for Gronk to leave. Why would Brady leave? Why? He sat there and he explained multiple times this year, he is a video junkie. He loves to break down plays, break down teams, break down video. That's what he enjoys doing. He even said, listen, you know, I like playing, but I really enjoy preparing for the game. What is Brady going to do? He's not going to get into coaching. Once you're at that level, you can only hurt your legacy to go into coaching. Not going to go into broadcasting. You know, he's not liked enough to go into broadcasting. What's Brady doing if he walks away? At the height of his career, Tim, he's not doing anything.
What if he says, I just want to be a dad?
You could say that, mm-hmm. And a lot of guys do say that, and I understand that. But them being a dad is a little bit different than us being dads, right? Giselle's all over the world. They have, you know, their kids, they're not old, but they're not young, right? It's not like they're babies. But, you know, what was it, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when they had one of the small, you know, children, and I said, this might be the time. Because you want to be with the baby, and if you're not with the baby, you want to be that 1 to 2 year old. Listen, when Tom Brady thinks about it, he's going, all right, so kids are going to school, you know, now with extracurricular activities and stuff. They're going to school 7-8 in the morning, extracurricular, they're getting home at 4 or 5 in the day. Like, how much am I really seeing them anyway? I'm not saying it's for everybody. I am... You know, I work from home. I'm with my kids all day. So I understand the idea of wanting to be near your kids, but I think Tom Brady is a different person, and his life situation isn't the same as somebody like me and you.
And with you just saying about Brady as far as being a film junkie and that's what he does, you could say the same thing about Bill Belichick at 66, Tom. Why should he retire? I mean, he loves doing what he does. And yet again, he basically spits in the face of everybody that doesn't like him because he's holding up another ring.
Well, it's pretty funny. I spoke to Ian O'Connor, who wrote the book on Belichick. Gary Myers, who's very close to Belichick. I've spoken to a couple people who have a personal relationship with Bill Belichick. And every one of them without a pause, said, "No, no, he's not going anywhere." Like there's no, like there's not even a doubt in anyone's mind that not only is he not going anywhere, he's preparing for the future. And you saw that with Sonny Michel. You know, he's going, "Oh yeah, well, Sonny Michel is going to help me win this year, but we're going to start changing things up." Belichick wants to win every year, and he prepares to win every year. But I think in his mind, he doesn't have an end goal. You know, I'm sitting here talking to you, you know, on the radio, and I'm going, "Wow, you know what? When I'm like 80, I might still be doing radio because I enjoy it. I have no end goal." And I'll be asked when I'm, you know, 60, "Are you thinking about getting out?" I'm like, "Wait a minute, why? If I'm enjoying it, you guys are enjoying it." And that's, I think, how Belichick is. You know, you got to remember that these guys are human beings. They're not robots. And Belichick is enjoying what he's doing right now. He's at the top of the mountain. And I think one of the things that bothers Belichick, I know it sounds minimal to people listening, but I think one of the things that bothers Belichick is that people go, "Wow, Belichick's great, but he's not Lombardi." And I think that actually bothers him. I think that's how crazed Belichick is. He wants to say, "Listen, I was the best assistant coach of all time, and now I'm the best head coach. And I don't want to have the debate. I want to put an end to the debate. There should never be a debate left." And as much as I feel like Tom Brady is in that vein, Tom Brady wants to say, "Okay, guys, you know, there's no doubt." And to anybody that has two brain cells, there is no doubt that Tom Brady is the greatest NFL player of all time, okay? I said it last night. He's the greatest American athlete that we've ever seen, because none of us watch Babe Ruth. So you want to bring up Jordan, that's laughable. He can't hold a candle to Tom Brady. But he still wants to make sure that there isn't that one numbskull out there. Belichick wants to make sure that there isn't that one guy that brings up Lombardi, you know, because are you kidding me? I got six of them. Six, and I went to 9. And how many more do I have as an assistant? I mean, Belichick wants to blow this out of the water so our kids go, "Oh, that was untouchable." That's untouchable.
About this tweet from Rich Ornberger, Tom, from Extra 1360 on Fox Sports Radio. He's also the color guy for the Aztecs over at San Diego State. "The same people who are nauseated or disgusted by or tired of the Patriots' success will one day tell their kids and grandkids what it was like watching Tom Brady and the Patriots of this era, and they'll do it with glowing admiration." I believe you said that a month ago. You told me that on air a month ago.
Yep, I said that on the air.
Yep.
Yeah, it is true. Look, you only get to see, you know, greatness every now and then, you know, and I devoted a whole show to it, to talk about how we're in the midst of greatness here. We are in the midst of it. Sometimes it's hard to get out of the box of what we're watching and what we're fortunate enough to watch and what we're lucky enough to be a part of. I didn't like Michael Jordan. I wasn't a Jordan fan, okay? But I knew what I was watching, and I embraced what I was watching. And I'll be able to sit back and tell my son and my daughter, "Guys, you know, I saw this. I was able to watch this." You don't have to like him, but you've got to embrace what you're going through. What you're watching is just, it's something that I believe we'll never see again. I believe I can't believe we're still seeing it, but I believe we'll never see it again, Tim. And yeah, I've made that a point many, many times. Hate him for him beating your team. Hate him for a lot of other things. But understand, yeah, in 50 years, you're going to be sitting around, and you're going to be going, "I saw the best of all time."
And you're right. You know, I sat next to a Rams fan today who was saying Brady didn't do anything in this game. And, you know, you look at a situation where you're right. If you want to be mad that they beat your team, then so be it. But people hate Brady for the most asinine reasons whatsoever. And when you take a look at the sport of football, which is the most violent of the four, right? Hockey's pretty violent, but at the same time, it's a little more protected in certain ways. It has the smallest sample size of games played per season. So when you look at a dynasty like this in the NFL, where they've pretty much made it to where most teams have a chance, Tom, to at least make the playoffs every year. You know how the parity works here. The fact that they've been able to do this, there's no doubt that what we're witnessing is the best dynasty that we've been able to see. Because I know you and I had this discussion on, obviously, the Yankees have to be up in there. Edmonton had a nice run in hockey back in the 80s. You know, we could find different ones. But what we're witnessing right now, and it just keeps going and going. You know, that's the part. And that's the thing that I think I see with, you know, especially in Americans. Look, this is just what I see. Correct me if I'm wrong. People don't want to see success like that for some reason. I don't understand it.
No, absolutely not. I mean, you know, you could go to all realms of everything. You know, Americans just as not all, but there's a large portion of the society that, you know, they like the loser. You know, they don't like the guy that succeeds. They don't like somebody that made it, and they're, you know, they're doing good things, and they are the CEO, and they don't, you know, well, they don't deserve to be CEO. Why? You don't know what they went through. You know, they don't deserve to be there. Well, Tom Brady doesn't deserve all this. Yeah, every time I hear anybody speak about Brady that is close to him, say he's a tireless worker. He's got a chip on his shoulder after 8 Super Bowls. I mean, and by the way, whoever you were sitting next to, and this I knew this was going to start, and this shows you how little intelligence people have that watch football. You have football fans that just, they shouldn't watch the game because they don't understand football. If you say Tom Brady didn't do much today, I find it absolutely unbelievably amazing of what Tom Brady was able to do today. And that was take a backseat to the game plan. Last year in this game, Tom Brady threw for over 500 yards. He had the greatest game by a quarterback in the history of the Super Bowl. And they lost. Okay? And they lost. Tonight, it was a different game plan. And Brady is a good enough professional, and he good enough wants to win so badly that he said, I don't care if my stats suffer. I don't care that I'm not going to fling the ball over. This is the game plan we're going with. Perfect. I'm fine with it. And he's able to do that. That in itself is so rare among superstars. I know I pick on him a lot, but Tim, could you imagine Mike McCarthy walking up to Aaron Rodgers and telling Aaron Rodgers, listen, yeah, the game plan is to run today. Take the ball completely out of your hand. You think that would go over well? What about a young kid like Patrick Mahomes? Or even a Drew Brees who seemed to have a problem with it? I mean, it's so rare. And Tom Brady fit the game plan today. His coach said to him, we're taking the ball out of your hands. We're going to run it. We are only going to, you know, milk the clock. And you got to do what we need you to do when we need you to do it, which is come up big on third down. And all night long, go look at the third down conversion rate. That's how you judge a quarterback, ladies and gentlemen. People that don't know anything about the NFL and do not understand football think that Tom Brady had a mediocre game tonight. People that have any idea what's going on, look at the third down conversion rate. That's how you judge a quarterback. Because they didn't ask Tom Brady to do anything except get the big, crucial third down. And time and time and time again tonight, he did that.
Halfway through a Super Sunday night, when we come back, are the Patriots the favorites to win again next year? We'll look at the odds that the Westgate released tonight on Super Bowl 54. I think we're going to sneak some baseball in hour three as well, because guess what, everybody? Still no signings from the two guys that we've been talking about forever. We'll get Tom's update on the whereabouts of Bryce Harper and Manny Machado in hour number three. It's Heatwave Sports. Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, 99 FM.
Now back to Heatwave Sports with Tim Oglesby and Tom Barton.
And we're halfway through your Super Sunday Night edition of Heatwave Sports, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Tim Unglesby, Ari Platinum with you. You can listen to us every weekend, actually. 10 to 1 on Sundays, the big show. Saturday nights, 10 to midnight, except for this Saturday, Ari. There's a VGK game. And they go ahead and bump us on out because, you know, you never know how long these games are going to go.
Never.
And we don't want you driving around town like a bat out of hell, which I remember the first time we tried to do this, and you came rolling through the parking lot here.
9:56.
Should I say that?
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, they know. They know what I what out of miraculous hell, right? things I do to make this all work out.
You
yeah.
And you were
got
coming,
here at 9:56.
You were coming from Summerlin. Still made it here in time, to because it was one of the rookie games.
Oh, I remember what night you were talking about. Yeah.
Still made City it here, National. Ran in, got us on the air. You, you did a great job
Thank
there,
you.
Man.
I try. Yeah.
I forgot to ask you, actually, before we head into the next segment, because, you know, we segment shows here on this. Well, everybody does, but you had the week off from hockey. I know, because you're at every game home. You're at every remote.
Yes.
You actually had a week off and still didn't have a week off. How does that happen, man?
Right? I came in. I was so excited from weeks ahead of time. I was like, this is it. You know, I finally can just. I will preface this with it's been well over a week since I've been out at T-Mobile and out in the freezing cold for the post game. So that break, that in itself is a great break. But our buddy Chris Chapman from Fox Sports decided he wanted to go to Sweden. He picked the right week, the bye week and everything.
Of course.
So, but yeah, so he was out, and so I had to cover a lot of stuff for him. But again, it was a little bit of a vacation for me just to kind of, you know,
not have to be out there and deal with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun, but it's intense. So give me a little break, and I'll come back fresh, you know. And unlike the Golden Knights, I'm doing my thing.
How did your Straight Outta Compton Twitter post go with you looking absolutely miserable in sub temperature there?
It got a few likes. And
did it accomplish anything, though?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Hey, man, you tried.
Yeah, that's all. You know. It was fun.
VGK back in action on Tuesday, right?
Correct.
Tuesday.
Big game.
At Tampa.
Big game.
At Tampa, yep. Loses a 4 in a row right now.
Because whatever happens in this game, in the fans' eyes, will determine everything right there.
Of course.
If they win.
Of course.
I mean, it's just the greatest thing ever.
If they win, it was like nothing ever happened. But if they lose,
then they just can't
over.
Get it done against these top teams. I don't see how they're going to beat them, honestly, but we'll find out. It's a tough team.
So, Tom, next year's Super Bowl will be played in Miami at Hard Rock Stadium, and the odds were released by your buddies over at the Westgate and Jay Cornegay. So let's take a look at these real quick. Just, you know, something to peruse here as they're fresh in mind. And I know last year, Tom, as soon as the Super Bowl was over, you laid some money on Houston. You thought it was great value. And for a while there, it looked like you were in the driver's seat until the playoff game. But the Kansas City Chiefs, Tom, are now 6-1 to win the Super Bowl. They're the favorite in Las Vegas.
And it's hard to go against that, right? I mean, well, other than the fact that favorite, but it's hard to go against that. Look, they have the reigning MVP. They have Andy Reid. They have, you know, Hill and Kelsey locked up. You got to think that they're going to go address some of the defensive needs. So I understand it. I will say this, though. There's some things to be worried about with them. Number one, yes, the reigning MVP. Does anybody expect 50 touchdowns again from Patrick Mahomes? You have to be a little crazy if you think that kind of year can be repeated year in and year out. So I expect Patrick Mahomes to take a slight step backwards just because of natural regression, not because of anything against him. That's number one. Number two, they look like they're going to lose Lamar Houston. They're going to lose Eric Berry. That's a problem, okay? Now, we have to see who they're going to bring in. Number three, I don't think Damian Williams is a guy that I can count on, you know, day in and day out. So, you know, there are some factors. And, oh, by the way, the Chargers are pretty good. Denver looks like they might be a little bit better next year. So, I don't know. I mean, I get why they are the favorites, but they won't be getting my early money.
In the second tier, the defending champion, Patriots, Tom, the Rams, the two teams that played today, and Sean Payton and the Saints rack in at 8-1 over at the Westgate.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're obviously going to get great odds for the two teams that are sitting there, right, and just played. The Rams are young. They have a young coach. They have a young quarterback. They have a young core. People are going to love the Rams. All right. That's a layup. Patriots, they got to be up there. They're the Super Bowl champions. We get it. The Saints are a little surprising to me, only from an emotional standpoint. Now, it's not surprising that they're listed up there because obviously the public is going to love them. But it's surprising to me that people would be betting on them. Tim, you know I'm a big Drew Brees fan, okay? But it takes a lot of emotion to get over what happened to them in Minnesota. A lot of emotion. And then to get back and what happened to them this year, you have 2 years back-to-back of historically devastating situations. Historically devastating, Tim. I don't think that you can, put money on this team and expect them to just say, okay, no problem, right? Okay, we're just gonna move on. Historically devastating, and we're just going to kind of turn the page. I just don't see that as a reality when you're thinking about the emotions of the game.
And just a quick side note on the Saints, I think it's, in my mind, and I'm a Brees guy as well, Tom, you know that, I think it's time to start preparing for life after Drew Brees.
Oh, I think absolutely, 100%. And don't forget, Mark Ingram's gone too, or he should probably be gone. I wouldn't expect them to retain him. That's a pretty big loss as well. So, you know, a lot of these losses, you have to, when you're betting futures plays this early, and you know that I do, okay, you have to expect what the team's going to do. You have to kind of go out there. One of the reasons why I like Houston, I took Houston 2 years ago as well. One of the reasons, I didn't believe Tom Savage was their quarterback of the future. Now, I didn't believe that they were going to go draft Watson. I had heard Tony Romo. I had heard a bunch of guys. And that's why I took them, 2 years ago. This year, I thought, well, you know what? They're going to be healthy. So T.J. Watt, Clowney, they're going to be healthy. And that was one of the reasons I took them this year. So you have to, when you're going out there and making a bet early on, you have to project, Tim. It's not necessarily about the value right now. It's about projecting what will a team do. So when every year when I'm there, I always take a team after the Super Bowl. Now, I think there are pretty good odds on Atlanta. I do. I don't know if I like Atlanta to win the Super Bowl next year, but I think there's good odds. I think people are sleeping on this team, how injured they got, how hurt they got. I think people are sleeping on them. I think the Bears are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. But I'm only getting 11 or 12 to 1 odds. I could wait on that. Let's see what happens, right, between now and the draft. The team that I'm jumping on early and the team that I just put a bet on in was the Indianapolis Colts. Why the Indianapolis Colts? Because I'm getting decent value, Tim, and they have $100 million under the salary cap to spend. So I'm projecting the Colts to look massively improved. And I think that those odds are going to go falling down. This is what I did with the Rams. If you guys are, I told you all year, this is what I did with the Rams. Before they got in Dominican Sue, I was on top of this team for this reason. I knew that they were going to make some moves. Well, I know for a fact that, I think everybody knows, that they are going to make some moves. The Colts are going to spend some money, man. The Colts are going to go out there, and they're going to spend some money. I'd rather be out in front of it.
Tom, what'd you get the Colts at? They're 20-1 at the Westgate.
Yeah, 20-1. I just got them at 18, so I didn't get that great of odds. I'll take the 18-1 odds. I'm okay with that. And that's what I'm looking at with the Colts. I think that if you guys want a really crazy long shot, and this is just pure have fun speculation, a crazy, crazy long shot, how about the New York Jets, who are $97 million under the salary cap? They are right now, I would say, the two biggest players for Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, both. And they could afford both of them. What about taking a shot at the Jets? What are the Jets odds there, Tim? Well, tell everybody. I know what they are.
80-1.
80-1. Now, you can get 100-1 in Jersey. 100-1 odds. Again, not something I'm advocating putting money on, not something I put any money on. But if you're looking for a speculative team, this is how I approach right now. I will make a bet on a futures play at certain times during the year. Historically, traditionally, I always grab a bet the day after the Super Bowl, okay? Always. Then, right after the draft or right before the draft, depending on who I think is a swing guy, right before or after the draft, then right before the season. That's usually the times I take my futures plays. I don't think anybody in the draft is really going to sway my opinion overly too much. Free agency this year is going to be what does it.
Radio personality Chris Wynn chimes in, Tom, that he likes the Chargers, who are along with your Bears, are 14-1 at the Westgate.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Yeah, there's a few reasons why I don't like the Chargers, Chris. And Chris will agree when I start bringing them up. Number one, they're the Chargers. which I hate to be like that, but don't they always seem to shoot themselves in the foot? Don't they always seem to be a weird injury or something happening to them? That's number one. Number two, we talk about age. Everything's about Brady's age and age and age. Well, Phillip Rivers is getting up there too. And I don't expect the drop-off, but if we're talking about age, we could start talking about that. But the biggest factor to me is that I don't believe that an NFL team can win a Super Bowl unless they have a pretty distinct home field advantage. And the Chargers don't. They never play in a home stadium. Their stadium is pathetic. They play in a tough division with Kansas City where I think it's going to be hard for them to get a home game. They are a team that on paper looks really good. But listen, if I was getting 25-1 odds with the Chargers, I'd take a shot. I saw them at 12-1. You know, you have them at 14. Yeah, I don't think there's enough value for me to jump on them right now.
About a team we both think this year they definitely were, they played better than I surely expected them to, and you just brought them up a little bit earlier. The Seahawks 30-1.
Seahawks worry me, Tim. They worry me because KJ Wright is going to go test free agency. They worry me because I'm not sure if their running back is Penny or Carson. They worry me because Doug Baldwin said this year that he played. He said, I don't know if I'll ever be 100% again. So it's not like he's just going to overall just recover. Now, I like Russell Wilson, but you're also in a division with the Rams and Niners, so I expect to be better. Is there a prop play Seahawks make the playoffs? I'm all over that. You know, if the prop play is, do they win the Super Bowl? They got to get home field advantage to win the Super Bowl, and I have a hard time thinking that Seattle gets home field advantage.
What about, you mentioned him, Garoppolo comes back. If everything goes.
No.
50.
Their defense isn't there yet. Okay. And I know, listen, you know that more money came in on San Francisco to win the Super Bowl than any other team because of the value this year. Everybody loved them. Garoppolo is now a year removed from being a starting quarterback. I'm still not sold on Garoppolo. Their starting running back is going to be McKinnon. He's a year removed from being healthy. They still are missing a number one receiver. They still are missing defense. And they're in a division with Seattle and the Rams. Again, you've got to think, guys, let's go back now, a decade now. We could go back a decade now. It's the last 6 years, but you could go back a decade. Unless you're the number one seed or the number two seed in your conference, you're not going to the Super Bowl and you're not winning the Super Bowl. A number one seed now has won 10 of the last 11, okay? I mean, they went. There is no more upsets in the NFL. To win the Super Bowl, you've got to get home field and you need a bye. I don't think Seattle could get home field and get a bye. I don't think San Francisco gets home field and gets a bye.
And if anybody wants to go ahead and place this bet, I'll book it for you right here at the Heat Wave Sports. The Dolphins, Tom, 300-1 to win the Super Bowl. I'll take those offers right now.
Oh, man. Yeah. This is when people talk about long shots. Those aren't hitting. But you can get those medium shots in there. What do you guys have for the Falcons?
Pull that up for you, Tom. They were bunched in a group there that I want to say was in the
25?
Yeah, they were in the 20 group.
You know, now let me just make the case for the Falcons. Again, I'm not a Falcons fan. Let me make the case for the Falcons. I think the Saints emotionally are going to be devastated for back-to-back season. That's number one. They lost a lot. I gave my case against the Saints. You're in a division with Tampa, who are a mess. They might be getting a new quarterback. They definitely have a new coach. Tampa's a mess. Carolina, where rumors are swirling that Cam Newton might sit out the entire year because of an injury. So he's clearly hurt. The Atlanta Falcons are talented. They just got banged up. That's a team I'd look at. The Bears, again, Atlanta and the Bears, I think, offer a little bit of value. I think the Colts have a little bit of value as well.
Falcons 30-1.
Yeah, 30-1.
Yeah,
that's not bad. I can see, put it this way, I can see the Falcons, especially in that South, which is so volatile. I can see the Falcons winning that division, getting a home game, and if they get a home game, they're a dangerous team.
In case you missed it, I don't know how you did, but New England wins Super Bowl 53, 13-3 over the Rams. Their sixth Super Bowl title. Their sixth for Brady, sixth for Belichick. And Tom, you know, you were in AC most of the week for their first ever Super Bowl with the wagering. A record last year, a record $158.5 million was bet on Super Bowl 52 in Nevada. What are we looking at this year now that other states have opened up? Are we looking at a bigger gate because it just seems to go up every year? I guess let me ask you a two-parter. What's Nevada's handle you think going to be, and then how did the other states do?
Oh, well, you know, I could give you the numbers that they were projecting, and I'll tell you, I think like everything else that they projected with Atlantic City, I think everything basically is over that. Everything that they've projected for New Jersey has been more than anything, and basically they were projecting this to blow everything away. What were the official numbers last year? Give me the official numbers that you had.
158.5.
Now, if we're just going by what the data has shown, is New Jersey is doing about half of what Las Vegas is doing. New Jersey is doing about half. So 158, I'm going to say they're going to do 80 to 85. When you add in Delaware and everybody else, I think that the other states come damn clear. All right, maybe not quite. 158 you guys had?
Yeah.
Vegas had 150. I'm going to say the other states combined get about 115, 110.
You think Vegas goes over 158, though? They beat
last year. Yeah, I think Vegas probably gets into the 170 range, 175 maybe.
Mm-hmm. And there's no reason why that doesn't just keep going up every year.
No, here's the thing. It's available now. I mean, you've been around, Tim, when you had to get in your car, drive to the casino, even though casinos were everywhere and sports books were everywhere.
Yeah.
So, like, get in your car. Yeah, a rainy day, maybe no rainy days. It's a hot day, whatever it is. You don't feel like it. I don't want to get out. Oh, there's only 45 minutes. I don't want to battle the traffic. That's gone now. It's right in the palm of your hand. Pull it up, ding, 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 done and gone. And you got a bet going on. That's why Las Vegas just set record. Think about it like that. You know, everybody in the country just opened up, or eight states now are opened up competing with Las Vegas. Las Vegas just set the record. Or the best December that they've ever had, the best year that they've ever had for sports betting. Well, I wonder why. It's mobile apps, man. That's all it is.
And what are we projected by Super Bowl 2020? How many states?
The over-under is 19.5.
And there's only nine right now?
There's eight right now.
Eight right now. Jeez. It's gonna be you're going to be a busy year for you, Tom.
Yes, it is. I will tell you right now that there are, even this week, Texas just approved a measure. New York is approving a measure. I mean, there are what form it is, is going to be a little bit of a debate, Tim. We're going to have it in New York here, but early on, it's only going to be the upstate casinos. It's not going to be full-fledged. So it's a little bit misleading. It's not going to be full-fledged sports betting, but it'll be sports betting. I do think by opening day, there will be some form of a mobile betting, probably by Super Bowl. Everything is going to roll out, and it's going to roll out in a slower fashion than I think people are realizing, but it's still going to roll out. And we're talking about Texas just put into a measure just this week. Texas put in a measure. There's going to be a couple of states that hurry this process up. I know Connecticut is trying to hurry their process up. Massachusetts is trying to hurry their process up. the thing is, Tim, when you turn around and you're looking, you know, you're a sports, I mean, you're a government entity that is losing money in your state, and you look at the amount of money that's going to the state next door to you through sports betting. Oh, my God, I'm sitting here in Massachusetts. Look at what New Jersey's doing. Look what Pennsylvania's doing. It just makes too much financial sense to just allow it. And once it's allowed, that's when the ball starts rolling. Oh, you didn't want mobile betting? Cool. Let me tell you that 77% of all bets coming in New Jersey are on mobile betting. Oh, okay. Well, that changes my stance on mobile betting. You know, I mean, that's the way that this whole thing is going on.
And where do you think this lays with when the numbers are? I guess sometime tomorrow we'll hear for Nevada, especially that. All week it was Patriot money, right, Tom? Then we saw the shift in Rams money line money coming in. A lot of huge bets on the Rams money line. We saw the total go under. Then people were going the other way and betting the over. How did the Vegas books do after this Super Bowl?
I think they did absolutely fantastic. I think this is going to be a monumental day. Jay, you mentioned Jay Cornyn. He already posted on Twitter, he said, well, you know, it's not going to be as good of a day as you guys think kind of thing. Yes, it is. Yes, it is, Jay. This is going to be monumental. Basically, with very few exceptions, you know, like Julian Edelman winning the MVP and whatnot, Vegas just won every single prop play available. Vegas won every prop play that you could think of. You know, every touchdown total, every single scoring total, all of that. All of that was won by Las Vegas. Every bet that came in on the Rams, that's all in their pocket. Now, I know they want us to believe that all this money was coming in totally one-sided, you know, coming in on the Patriots. I just don't buy into that. I think it was a lot more evenly split than people think. I know a lot of people had the under. Okay, I get that. But the prop plays have become a real big thing. In-game wagering destroyed people. In-game wagering, people kept saying, oh, man, well, look at this. I could get over under 19.5. Right, Tim? I mean, that's what it was said at. How do you not take the over? So I think the new approach, I think every single sportsbook director is going to be smiling tomorrow because the new approach where in-game wagering and prop bets really, really going to make the day huge.
And I guess, you know, like you said, Jay Cornyn comes out on Twitter and he basically says, it's not as good as you think it is. Almost, you know, throwing a little bit of a shade on there, but almost as bad as when they say they get killed, they're going to say the same thing. Well, it's not as bad as you think it is. It usually is.
Well, you know, one of the questions I always ask him, and, you know, I ask this about sports and about life. Why do we know information? Why do we know for the last, you know, 10 days, why do we know that everybody loves the Patriots? Why do I know that information? Why is that information made public to me? It's for a reason. They want us to know that information, and they want people to go, oh, man, everyone's on the Patriots? Maybe I shouldn't be on the Patriots. I mean, that it's a mind game. It's a marketing strategy.
We made it through 2 hours here on a Super Sunday night. Last hour coming up, we're going to hit on a couple more topics. We're just going to go around the world of sports, and we'll finish off with a little Major League Baseball as we get you ready for the new sports week. It's been a good day so far. We're going to end it on a good note for hour number 3, Heatwave Sports, Fox Sports Radio.